This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
John Reed, Cam Black, Charlie Collier, as we get set to talk about sports and other things on this Monday, January 24th. Cam, how was your weekend?
It was good. Good, I can't complain. Lots of fun sports and stuff going on. Vols, big win. Hawks are back, some are saying. Four in a row, look at them go. Some fun games last night. I had a pretty good weekend.
Charlie, I know you're probably hurt, and we don't have to really talk about it right now. We can just instead celebrate, you know, just football. And, you know, sometimes things in life happen that you don't really have an explanation.
What are we celebrating football for?
Just because the Shield delivers. And the Shield, look, it gives you what you may not want all the time, but it's what we need. And
no, it didn't. It didn't give us what we wanted or needed.
It didn't give us what we wanted, but it gave us what we need. We got a jam-packed,
was a Titans win.
Well, I understand that. I said it doesn't always give you what you need or want, but it gives you what you – I mean, I guess I did say it gives you what you need. That's what you needed, though. You might not have thought so.
I didn't even watch it.
Well,
What I needed if I didn't even – I didn't even
know. Oh, you missed out.
I had made that decision, too, on Saturday night. I didn't see the Packers 49ers game. And I'd made that decision. I was done, too. But I did find myself watching football yesterday. And I was glad I did. I've made the switch, Charlie, coming out of the weekend. I am now just a casual sports fan. I'm going to try this out for a while. I give up on being a diehard. I give up on being a big-time fan. I'm just going to be a casual guy now, see how that it feels.
That's because, a bad idea.
Yeah, I might just give it up altogether. I don't know. But, I mean, I feel like I got to at least be casual for the next couple months, and then who knows, maybe find a new job and get out of this line of work. Because you got to be at least a casual sports fan if you're going to be talking sports on the radio.
There was a part of me when I was driving back here Saturday night that thought about quitting.
Yeah, same.
It was just like I think I want to give up on being – so invested in sports, yep. I want to maybe I'll read more and learn a new language and
yep.
do business things.
I was going to head back to the farm. I was going to do something. I don't know, but I gave it some time. And like I said, I put my faith back in the Shield, and it delivered yesterday with two, I don't want to call them classic games, because I don't know if the Rams-Buccaneers was a classic as much as it was like Matthew Stafford and the Rams feeling like they were going full Falcons and Lions combined and thrown in mm-hmm. together. As Tom Brady's just on the sideline, like Jason Voorhees just continuing to keep coming and coming and coming. And all of a sudden you see, just like in those movies, no, wait, why are you falling down? Just stand up. Like, just run. Like, if you don't fall down, he won't catch you. And you're just tripping over yourself and you're going the wrong way. And
mm-hmm.
Michael Myers and Jason, they're catching up to you, and you can't get away because you keep stumping your own foot. You keep falling down, and, thought the Rams were going to be okay. They get that strip sack of Brady, and they're like, okay, game over. And then, boom, snap over the head out of nowhere, 20 yards back. And instead of, the Bucs being done, they ended up getting like a 25, 30-yard play after fumbling mm-hmm. with Tom Brady. It actually worked out better than ever. And then you're like, okay, the Rams – here are driving, and they're getting ready to kick this field goal. I mean, I guess I'm getting the time mixed up a little bit, but then misses, leaves it short.
That was enough to make me wonder about the NFL's rig stuff.
I'm watching it with my mother, and she just keeps telling me it's rigged the whole time. I'm like, Brady's going to win. I'm like, Mom, the NFL's not rigged.
When's the last time you've seen an NFL kicker come up short from 47 yards in perfect conditions?
I want to say there was one other time this year that it caught me by surprise. There was one other game, but I can't remember where it was that I was watching it, and a kicker did the same thing, and I'm just like, wait a second, what?
Short, yeah.
What just happened? But it's very, very rare. You are right. And then they get the ball back, and then all of a sudden, like, Mike Evans burns Jalen Ramsey, and it's kind of weird. Like, Ramsey didn't, like, know the play was still going on, and, like, Mike Evans scores. It's just like, look, here it comes. And then I'm like, even at worst case scenario, they're going to get the ball back with, like, a minute and 15 seconds, and, like, the game's over. And the next thing you know, Cam Akers puts the ball back on the ground, and she's like, I told you. I'm like, oh, my God.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sitting here, like, trying to be like, no, it's fine. And then Matthew Stafford then, you know, with, two of the best throws you'll see in high-pressure situations, erases a career full of doubt and criticism.
Yeah.
The Bucs somehow thought it would be smart to blitz him, even though he has been busting their ass all day on blitzes and been busting the NFL's ass all year on blitzes. And then Cooper Kupp has his big moment after he's inexplicably trying to be covered by a linebacker. And you're just kind of like, what are we doing here? That's the modern-day Jerry Rice. Yeah. Like, maybe put somebody good on him.
I watched the third and fourth quarter of that game. That was the only football I did watch this weekend. But it made me feel a little bit better that Aaron Rodgers lost Saturday night. And it made me feel a lot better that Tom Brady lost.
It didn't make me feel better.
No.
Seeing either one of those teams lose. And then, on Sunday night, the game that everyone was waiting for, the main event.
Oh.
Mahomes versus Allen. For the first 50 minutes, it was a frustrating game. Where you're just like, why are these offenses like not going fast? Why are these offenses trying to do this? Why is every drive taking 8 minutes? Like, why are they trying to, like, act like they have to dink and dunk down the field? Like, we know what these teams have. Why are they doing this? If you're sitting with the over 54, you're like, is this really not going to hit with these offenses, these quarterbacks? Like, what are they doing? And then Josh Allen goes on, just one of the more big boy drives you'll ever see. They get the ball with 8 minutes left. He goes right, down the field just meticulously, scrambling, running over people, knocking out defensive backs. Converting two just ridiculous fourth downs. The first one where, two defensive linemen are flying at him. He just sidesteps them, backs up, runs back 10 yards, pump fakes, and then picks up a first down. Then another one on 4th and 13 after one of the worst screen passes you'll ever see, after one of the worst completions you'll ever see. Takes it from 3rd and 7 back to, 4th and 13. You're like, well, this is it. And they've wasted all this damn time.
Yep.
And then you see Gabriel Davis, cross up a cornerback worse than maybe you'll ever see again.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that – I would have cut him right there on the spot if I was a Chiefs.
And then there were three touchdowns after that play, in regulation.
Yep.
Or three scores after regulation. Insane. And then a touchdown overtime. And you're like, okay, this is what these offenses should have been doing.
Mm-hmm. Whole game, yeah.
Yeah, maybe let Josh Allen cook the entire game and you wouldn't have been crying about overtime rules.
Yep.
Maybe do anything different those last 13 seconds. I don't understand how you don't squib. I'm screaming. What are you?
I just watched Gabriel Davis.
Oh,
you just watched that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I got.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know, man. I don't think I've seen anything that bad in a while.
And then you're like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs have nobody left in their secondary, and Tyrann Mathieu went out in the first quarter. Maybe you should just been throwing deep on them every time because they could not guard you. So I know the easy talk would be people are going to be screaming about the overtime rules in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
This is our third high-profile overtime game, the last, 4 years, basically, that has ended where, team gets the ball and team goes right down, scores a touchdown, and it's over. The Falcons Super Bowl, the Patriots beat the Chiefs like this in Mahomes' first year, and then last night, of course, Mahomes keeps Allen on the sideline and he never gets to touch the ball.
Yeah. I don't think this game, I'd always think that the overtime rules, I would like to see it where you both get a possession. I've always kind of thought that. I don't know. I just felt like if you're going to go to overtime and kind of reset the game, why not give both teams a shot? I don't think this game, made me push more for that just because I was already in that, mindset. Because, the Bills did do things wrong where, you could have won in regulations. Hey, just don't let somebody go get a field goal with 13 seconds left on the clock, Stuff like that. So I get where people are coming from, but at the same time, I don't think this game made me, more willing to, go out there and march for the for new overtime rules.
You have the people that argue, the defense, hey, if you want to win a game, get a stop. Yeah, you're going to have to get a stop eventually to win anyway. Might as well get it here, this, that, the other. Hey, if you didn't want to lose, Don't give up a drive with 13 seconds. 13 left, which, by the way, they should have just tackled all the receivers.
That's what I was trying for at the time. Yeah. Like, I'd gotten kind of sucked into the game. I was really not wanting to watch the game. I don't find myself rooting for the Chiefs ever anymore. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, they're just kind of the evil empire at this point and, you know, hosting their fourth straight AFC championship game. I didn't fully want the Bills to win either, but, man, Josh Allen just kind of wins you over.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you're like with 13 seconds left. A, squib it, like burn at least 2 or 3 seconds. And then, yeah, on that last play, just tackle everyone. And at the very least, that'll run 5 seconds off. They'll get 5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they don't have time for two plays at that point. Then they're throwing a Hail Mary instead. The Bills are just like, you know what, let's just run this weird zone where we're trying to kind of protect the sidelines even though the Chiefs have a bunch of first downs, and Travis Kelce's just going to run up 20 yards wide open, and then he's going to get down, and they're going to kick a field goal. And yeah. You're like, how the hell did you just let that happen?
Unreal, yeah.
So I don't feel bad at all for the Bills. I feel a little bit bad for Josh Allen, but the Bills, mm-hmm. Nope, don't feel bad for them. And, you know, again, this is the third time, big marquee game where, you know, a team has gotten the ball and went right down the field and scored. I will say that you see a lot of people screaming about, well, a coin flip determines the outcome of the game, and this is stupid. We should go with college rules. I did do some reading this morning, and I did come across an article that talks about this is from 2019, but talks about that the NFL team that gets the ball first in overtime wins. What number of times do you think it wins? What percentage do you think?
The team that gets the ball first?
The team that gets the ball first in the overtime.
I would say 61%.
61%?
Maybe 58.
Maybe 58, okay. Cam?
I'd say like 55.
55%. 55%, the team who gets the ball first in overtime wins.
Did you go?
You want to take a guess at the percentage that teams win in college when they get the ball, when they get the ball second? So, which, I mean, that's usually what the idea is, right? You win the coin toss, then overtime, you defer. Yeah. That's pretty much what everyone does, right?
You get the ball second?
Right, yeah.
I would guess probably 68% of the time.
A little too high. Well, I guess, Cam, if you want to try to hit it on the hill.
I guess 65?
62%.
62.
So, like, basically it's saying, well, the coin flip in college overtime actually matters more because you want to go second. Look what happened to Tennessee in the bowl game. Like, whenever you know what you have to do, which is what people are pining for in this NFL overtime, like, it's actually more of an advantage in college to know what you have to get, to know what you have to accomplish. So,
which technically is the same as the NFL if you just don't give up a touchdown.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if you don't give up a touchdown, yeah, sure. I mean, so, like, but, I don't know what the crying's about. I mean, I guess I understand, like, if you just want to see more of Josh Allen throwing the ball, like, that's the only thing that makes sense to me. But in terms of fairness, very rarely does a team who gets the ball first in overtime just march right down the field and win.
I just feel like when it's – I don't know. Like, those numbers make some decent points, but, like, there's more to it. Like, especially with last night's game, whoever won the coin toss was going to win that game. If I can feel confident, you know, I guess I didn't watch the game, but, you know, I still think, like, based on what I read, if the Bills got the ball first, they would have scored and won. So, like, I don't know if the Chiefs winning in overtime proves that they are the better team necessarily. They did just get the ball first.
Yeah, I'm not saying the Chiefs are better than the Bills either. Now, I will say, like, if you're the Bills, I'm not crying for them. I'm just not. You gave up a lead with 13 seconds left, bro.
That's
and also
thing.
Like, you would have had that game at home had you not lost 9-6 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You would have been the 2 seed over the Chiefs.
Yep.
Maybe that game goes differently in Buffalo. If you did college rules, like, I still think we'd be there because I don't think a defense is getting a stop all night. Like, they've been playing well into the sunrise. Like the Joe Buck tweet. It's like, oh, in the 47th inning as the sun engulfs, oh, we're still playing baseball. Like, that's what it would be last night because neither defense was getting a stop. The only overtime rule I'm interested in maybe exploring is what Baltimore had proposed a couple years ago, where you basically, the road team gets to choose where the ball starts. And then the other team gets to pick if they want to go on offense or defense.
That would just result in the 50-yard line every time.
Well, if the road team comes and say, I want to take the ball at the 50-yard line, then, of course, the home team is going to say, give me the ball. It would the strategy would be like the 10-yard line, the opposing, or, you know, our own 10-yard line. Do you think you can go 90 yards for a touchdown to win?
But they're not going to give you the ball on the 10.
Well, that's the point, their strategy to it. Like, if you're a defensive team, you're going to give them the ball on the 10. Mm-hmm. It's hard to start a drive on the 10-yard line.
I think I misunderstood that rule the entire time. I thought that, like, they chose.
You still wanted to argue with me about it.
Well, no, ahead. Now that you say it like that, so it's not I didn't interpret it this entire
time. It's basically
time.
A game of chicken. It's a game of I can do. You ever play that game? I can get this clue in 10 tries, and then you're like, well, I can do an 8, and you keep going down until eventually you blink, and you're like, okay,
we'll
do it.
But I thought that the entire time I was interpreting the rule, I thought that meant, like, say I choose this 40-yard line. Now, if I'm the home team, I choose I can either have the ball with 60 yards to go or I can give them the ball with 40 yards to go.
No, yeah, you're essentially saying the 10-yard line's our starting point, and then it'll be
that makes so much more sense, and I do like that rule. Yeah. The whole time, I was just dumbfounded by that rule.
Last night, it might have been a situation where the Chiefs were like, fine, yeah, we'll take it on the 1-yard line. We'll go 99 yards.
Yeah.
And they probably would have. But, like, that's the only thing that fascinates me a little bit, where actually, like, it does have some strategy, and the road team gets to be the one to do it. I mean, we like that with our card games, too. I mean, spades, rook, you start trying to bid on how many points you can get, and the other team's like, do it. You try to set them.
Yeah.
Take the ball 97 yards. Tough guy. Let's see what you got. Because otherwise, it's going to come down to a coin toss regardless.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like, hey, give both teams the ball. So what happens if both teams get the ball and score? What happens in that equation there? Is what I would ask people. Like, if you're like, guarantee the ball for everyone. What if they both get 7 points? Then what happens? Sudden death? Okay, it's still determined by a coin toss.
Mm-hmm.
Another quarter? What happens if it's tied there? Like, are we just going to keep playing like a full game? Like,
yeah.
I don't think there's a perfect answer because everything, again, people that are saying they want to get the ball both times. Okay, then what happens if it's still tied? It's going to go 2-point conversions. Like, does anybody like that in college football? I didn't like that in college football this year.
I despise it.
Right. So, I mean, like, I don't know what the perfect answer is. And I don't want that to be the conversation coming out of, you know, just a classic game where the new Brady and Manning's what they're calling them. I mean, Allen and Mahomes are going to just probably butt heads every playoffs.
Yeah, seems like it.
We'll look at the rest of the NFL weekend after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Apex Pest.
Every road team won with walk-off field goals in the first three games. Looked like we were going to have a walk-off touchdown in last night's game, but many people are calling it the best round of playoffs in NFL history. I've been, you know, telling everyone the divisional playoffs, that's the best weekend of the year. The wild card weekend stunk, but the divisional weekend delivered. Cam, what was your biggest takeaway? Is it just the quarterbacks? Is it just Mahomes? Yeah. Is it just Allen? Even throw Burrow in there. Like, it does seem like, to me, my takeaway is, like, look at the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
And the three last quarterbacks remaining in the conference, Burrow, Mahomes, Allen, all 26 and under. Throw Justin Herbert in there, as talented as well. And it does seem like we have a quartet of just really, really good quarterbacks for the next 10 years.
Yeah, that was kind of my thing. It's just the AFC looks like they're loaded with young good quarterback still, and then I think on the NFC side, like, you have an opportunity to have a big just, like, shift of changing of the guard almost, and not even that, just a lot more uncertainty going forward. Like, we don't really know the deal with Brady and Rodgers going forward. Even though Garoppolo got the win, there's still, you know, lots of questions about him moving forward as well. Like, it seems like it's a lot more chaotic and could just be completely different in the NFC moving forward, but the AFC, you're just like, wow, they got some guys that are, like you said, gonna be rocking and rolling for the next 10 years. It seems like, the AFC has a chance to, like, kind of go on a run and just kind of, you know, run the NFL for a while.
Rodgers loses, Brady loses. So in the NFC, it's a little bit different. You have, like, kind of the old guard maybe officially saying goodbye. We don't know if Tom Brady is going to play again. I was a little surprised at all the conversation surrounding that potentially being his last game, kind of came out of nowhere. And then everyone's like, well, actually, this might be it. And he's like, I don't really want to think about it. I'm just thinking about this loss. And if you're Brady, maybe that's the right way to go out. Feeling like, look, we led a 27-3 comeback, and then, you know, the defense just let us down.
Yeah.
I didn't go out looking very old. I didn't go out looking like I need to go out. I left where I can still somewhat play. But if you're Tampa Bay, like, if I'm Brady, I'm looking around like, man, we don't have the weapons anymore to win.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a championship roster anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of a sudden, all of a sudden, like, on big plays, I'm having to go to Scotty Miller.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we were doing at the end of that game.
Yep, pretty
much. Is it Tyler Johnson? What's the other?
Tyler Johnson, yep.
Like, those are the two receivers I'm having to go to because Mike Evans was, I don't know if I'm non-existent. He had the big touchdown, but it did seem like Ramsey had a pretty good clamp on him for most of that game. Evans had a couple early drops that, you know, absolutely, just killed drives. If I'm Brady, I'm looking around and be like, well, Godwin's going to be gone. Obviously, Brown's gone. Gronk's washed. Fournette's a free agent. We might just need to look and say it was a good run.
Yeah, I hope he does call it. I think this is time. I think that was a sign. It's time.
Aaron Rodgers loses again at home as a one seed. Unlike last year when everyone was kind of able to defend him. Because like last year when they lost to the Bucks, what was the conversation? How the hell could you kick a field goal down 8 points on fourth and goal?
Yeah. Yeah.
How the hell do you have that pass interference call on third down? Like, how can this one cornerback, whose name I don't even remember, how can you, like, not quit messing up? Like, this guy cost us the game. LaFleur cost us the game. Rodgers was robbed. Get Rodgers some help. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I don't blame him for wanting to leave. This year, we're going to look around. We're going to be like, well, you know, Rodgers, if you can't get it done with this cast at home against that 49ers team, where literally you just had to score 13 points, bro, and you scored on your very first drive, like, you couldn't give –
just need two touchdowns, man.
you couldn't score more than 3 points the last, like, basically, what, 54 minutes of the game?
Yeah.
That's on you, Aaron. Like, no one feels sympathy for you anymore. And if I'm Green Bay, probably don't like him as much off the field anymore either.
Oh, yeah.
Because regardless of where you feel, like, on where he stands vaccinated and, you know, what he's trying to do with being outspoken and being the Kyrie Irving of the NFL, regardless of how you feel about it, it's a distraction, right? Like, you don't want your quarterbacks being – at war.
Yeah.
That's the one position you're not supposed to do in a sport that we really don't like, divas or distractions. So I would imagine most Green Bay fans are looking around and saying, you know what, let's just go ahead and rip this Band-Aid off. So it might have been Aaron Rodgers' last game in Green Bay as well.
Yeah, I think you could get a completely just revamped NFC next year. And the AFC looks like they're in pretty good hands moving forward.
Yeah, unfortunately for our Titans, Charlie, it felt like that was our only chance. Felt like that was our only chance. That's what it hurt so badly. So. You don't think so? Okay. Sell me on it. Why not?
You have a really good football team.
Yep.
You have a really good head coach, or at least a good head coach.
Yep.
You have a great front office.
Okay.
You have most of those guys as young players coming back. You know, obviously – you're going to be behind the eight ball at the quarterback position, but...
Well, to me, that's where it stops. I mean, like, I just told you, like, the quarterback's like you're going to have to beat in the AFC over the next couple years, and, like...
But you've beaten them in the regular season.
Well, yeah, that this
and,
is...
And I think you can't... It's harder for you than it is for the teams that have those quarterbacks, but it's not, too, like, hard to the point where that it can't be done either. It's just a tougher road, and that's,
so you're,
that's
you're,
the part that sucks.
So but, you're going to keep getting fooled. Essentially, is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm just...
You still believe this team can get over that hump? Because, to me, I've defended Ryan Tannehill. I think Ryan Tannehill in the regular season is a lot of the things I've said he is. I don't think Ryan Tannehill is the problem in the regular season. I thought he turned the ball over a little too much in the regular season, but some of those were either because he had nobody open or, you know, just bad decisions. But in the playoffs, man, when you're full strength and you do have receivers and you do have... a historic performance of getting 9 sacks. The defensive line was every bit as good as advertised. I've been telling you all year, that this is the best defensive line in the NFL. They looked like the best defensive line in the NFL on Saturday night. They had nine sacks.
Yep.
9 sacks. That was only the second time since 1990. So since my lifetime, that's only the second time where a team has been able to get sacked 9 times, score 19 or fewer points, and still win. So that was a historically bad loss. Teams are now 2-51-1 under those circumstances. The 1990 Seahawks somehow pulled that out as well. So, like, it was a historically bad loss, and Ryan Tannehill ended that game the same way he started the game, by throwing a really bad interception. And I've lost my faith in him. And it hurts to say, because I've had a lot of faith in him, and I've defended him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He is just a different quarterback in the playoffs, and he's not one that's going to win. And it hurts, but it's true. Until further notice, it's true.
And, I mean, he doesn't have as good of a chance as other quarterbacks to win, but he can win.
If he can win, why didn't he? What is going to be better?
Because he can also lose. Like, that's how that works.
I understand, but, like, if he can win, like, what has to be different? Because, like, that was the best setup you had. You were at home, and you got a defense that gave up 19 points. And, you know, three of those, and really six of those, were because of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first interception put them on where? Like, your 40-yard line? They get one first down and a field goal? Yeah.
No, at best, your offense, I mean, was responsible for a 9-point difference in that game. And at worst, they were responsible for a, you know, what, 6 plus 7, 13-point difference.
You mean, like, whenever you're taking into account, like, Tannehill's pick on that screen pass, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, because
you could have scored at least three.
You were going to at least get three. So, at best, the offense was responsible for a 9-point difference in a 3-point game. And at worst, a 13-point difference in a 3-point game.
I mean, I was really just looking at, like, how many points Tennessee yielded. So, like, you gave up 19 points and, you know, two field goals came directly, basically, off an interception. I mean, I know on the last drive, Burrow had to hit one 20-yard pass or one 15-yard pass, and they did. But, like, Tannehill made the one mistake you couldn't make. He was much like Cam Akers. Like, all Cam Akers had to do was not fumble the ball. Like, he almost made a similar mistake. Like, the one thing you can't do, don't fumble. And he fumbled. And Ryan Tannehill, just don't throw the interception. And chances are it's incomplete, and you punt the ball, and the Bengals, I'm imagining with the lack of protection they had all game, probably going to take their chances in overtime. I doubt they would have tried to get really aggressive like 30 seconds. They would have had one timeout left. Maybe they take a couple shots, maybe. But with Burrow getting sacked 9 times, maybe they just would have gone to the overtime, especially if Kern could have pinned him back. But instead, Tannehill tried to force the ball to Westbrook Akina.
When everyone else was open. I mean, the running back was open in the flat. The tight end was open across the middle of the field. And A.J. Brown was even breaking open in the left side of the field in the deep third.
It was definitely, you know, more open than Westbrook Akina was. And it's just like last year against the Ravens where you had, you know, you forced a ball. Was that to Westbrook Akina too?
No, that was to Batson. But
Batson, okay, yeah. You forced the ball to Batson when you had A.J. Brown in single coverage and, like, you threw an interception on the last drive.
I agree that Ryan Tannehill played poorly and lost you the game Saturday. And that's because he is not an elite quarterback, but he is capable of both losing and winning football games, and that's where you are, and it's not the best place to be, but it's not as bad as it could be either.
I understand, and look, I don't want to overreact to playoff failures because I've been on the other side of playoff failures. The opposite of playoff failures to me is just like, you know, being terrible and like winning 3 games, 4 games. Like the Titans have done that, and I would rather get to the playoffs and, you know, even get to the second round like they did this year and lose heartbreaking playoff games than to be completely irrelevant and constantly trying to like tank and rebuild. I understand that. I get that. But my point is, Charlie, like it's never going to be better set up for you than it was like on Saturday where you've had two bye weeks.
It could be.
How? How could that be any better? Like Joe Burrow gets knocked out the first game against the Raiders and like comes in with a torn ACL.
No, I mean, like you could just have an offense that wasn't banged up all year.
The offense was healthy though for the playoffs. Though.
It was healthy, but I think you have to at least consider the fact that you know it's your first game back at full force, and you
what
look
that
at
to do with Ryan Tannehill's interceptions though.
But I mean, you look at week one, like you look at. You know, we started off slow. You look when you get everyone back, like you aren't really in a rhythm. So like I guess. It could be better if you were just healthy all year offensively or mostly healthy instead of having a revolving door of skill position players and a bad offensive coordinator. Now, again, I'm not trying to take any of the blame away from Ryan Tannehill. He was not good. But that's not to say that you can't have success again next year and potentially get to the Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl. It's not as easy for you as it is for teams with better quarterbacks, but it's not just out of the question either.
And every quarterback that we're talking about is just going to continue to get better.
Yeah. Probably. Josh Allen and Herbert and Burrow, yes. I mean, Mahomes is probably peaked.
I mean, maybe.
He's going to stay at his peak.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he doesn't
good,
get better,
so.
But like he's going to get more confident. I don't believe in some of the cliches in sports, but I do 100% believe in like mystique. And, like, Mahomes is going to get very close to having that same mystique that Tom Brady did. Like, after yesterday's game, 27-3, they come storm back. What you have was basically Odell Beckham be like, yeah, that was tough, man. You got the GOAT on the other side. And to me, like, him saying that kind of gave me the heads up. That they're on that sideline, like, we're playing Tom Brady.
And I've always wondered, like, why do these teams just keep messing up? How does Tom Brady keep getting so lucky? And I do think a part of it is because of the mystique of Tom Brady.
He's in their head a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Like, he is in your head. Yeah. I do believe that. And I do think Mahomes, he might not get better, like, physically, but he's going to have that mystique about him where he's going to feel like Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers. That baton, that sword, that knife, that butcher knife might get passed over to him where, like, you have to literally cut his head off. Set him on fire every single year. Every single movie, you got to find a new, more dramatic way to kill him.
Yeah.
Because he just showed you with 13 seconds left, he can get in field goal position and score. And that's just going to continue. Like, his legend's going to continue to grow. His skills might not, but his legend will. And, like, Brady's not at his peak powers anyways, but he still somehow, hanging over that game, made the Rams just absolutely lose their mind.
Yeah.
Like, Brady didn't really do anything special in that game. Yet, I do think, like, if that was any other quarterback besides Brady on the sidelines, maybe Mahomes on the other sideline, like, the Rams don't snap the ball 20 yards over their head. They don't fumble.
Yeah.
Because pressure gets to people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like your optimism, Charlie. It's one of the things I admire about you. To me, that felt like the Titans by far best chance, and everything broke perfectly. And to me, it's just you still found a way to lose that game.
But I still have confidence in our head coach, our GM, our owner, and the majority of our roster.
I don't think the Titans are going to fall apart. I think the Titans are still probably going to be my pick to win the AFC South next year. Like, they're still going to be in the playoffs, in my opinion. Now, you know, eventually things are going to catch up to you. Like, you're going to have to give Big Jeff his huge extension this offseason, and he earned it. He had 3 sacks, and that was his national coming out party. He was just as dominant as any NFL player in, you know, the last 10 years have been in a big game. 3 sacks and just completely collapsing that line. Chasing down, you know, Jamar Chase in an open field on, like, you know, screens and end arounds. Like, he was dominant. You're going to have to pay him. You're going to have to make a decision about, you know, Harold Landry. What do you do with your first round draft pick? Are you going to try to draft a quarterback to have a bridge year after Tannehill? Are you going to trade it? Are you going to draft an offensive lineman? Like, what do you do? Because your core is getting a little bit older, especially, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know how many years Henry has left. I don't know how many years, like, your offensive line has left with Saffold, and, you know, I'm dealing with a shoulder injury every game.
I think you move on from Saffold this year. Aaron Brewer was better than him this year.
I mean, I don't know if you can say that because Roger Saffold did get, like, an all-pro vote, so, like, or maybe it was just a Pro Bowl vote, some Pro Bowl votes.
Yeah,
but he got recognition. But
that's just when people look at who runs the ball well and who are their offensive linemen.
Well, yeah, sure. But, like, even if you make the switch to Aaron Brewer, you're still going to have to, like, do something with the offensive line. You still got to draft backups. Like, you still have to have, like, depth.
Yes,
because how often people were injured.
Mike Vrabel, he spoke to the media today, and he, you know, still believes in Todd Downing. I don't know. I mean, he's not the kind of guy that's just going to come out and throw a coach under the bus. So, like, he still could move on from him. But, you know, he rode with Shane Bowen last year and then instead just blamed his players, basically, and retooled his defense. I think we could see the offense get retooled
this offseason.
You know, I think you –
Who are you going to get that's better than the guys they already have? Like, that's my issue with the offense, like, retooling it. Like, who are you going to get except quarterback? Like, you going to upgrade from Henry? You going to upgrade from A.J. Brown?
I think you probably upgrade the offensive line, and I guess you kick the tires around at quarterback, I guess. I don't know. Like, what do you really do with Ryan Tannehill?
You can't do much. You can't cut him because of the money owed. You could try to trade him and have the team take him back, kind of like the Goff and Stafford deal.
I
don't know, like, who is out there that would even be in the same breath as Stafford that, like, is on a good quarterback on an underachieving team. There's no Phillip Rivers even. Like, I mean, I don't know what you do, and it's hard to overreact because I wouldn't do this for anybody. Like, Derek Carr, I'm not doing this for Derek Carr. I'm not needing to upgrade there. Like, Derek Carr to me is not leaps and bounds better than Tannehill.
Right now, if I'm the Titans, I mean, I'm looking at Russell Wilson, first of all, and I would be willing to offer them Tannehill, several first-rounders, or even Derrick Henry if it came to that. I would be willing to move Derrick Henry this offseason. I think it proved this year he is not your most important offensive player. That is A.J. Brown. You know, Derrick Henry, you don't know if he has hit the peak or not in his career. I would be willing to move him because I think you found that you can still run the ball successfully, though not as explosively or as well as you did, obviously, with Henry. But you can still find success running the ball with how we block and with, you know, a guy like Deontay Foreman or even an upgrade from Foreman. You know, that's not necessarily Derrick Henry either. So I would be willing to move on from him potentially
if we could
lead to a franchise quarterback. But, you know, I would obviously – I would try to go for Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers – maybe Matt Ryan, and if that doesn't work, then I would roll with Tannehill, obviously, and you just bring in a better backup that can compete, you know, put pressure on him, and maybe even take the job if he doesn't perform, like maybe a Derek Carr or a Kirk Cousins or Mitch Trubisky. And if that doesn't work, then you – or that either that or you draft a quarterback like Carson Strong or Sam Howell. But in a great situation.
To me, like, only two guys in there are going to do anything, and that's Rodgers and Wilson. And, you know – how feasible is that to do? And is Rodgers doesn't even have to be traded at this point, right? Like, can't Rodgers terminate his contract? Wasn't that like the reworked deal?
I think so. I think that's what he did because I do remember him talking about how he kind of just had like a way out after this year.
Yeah, he can just
so,
opt out.
Yeah, I think so.
But I mean, like, Rodgers is obviously better than Ryan Tannehill, but Rodgers is also like choked in the playoffs basically every year of the last decade.
Is there a chance that maybe this year was more of an outlier for Tannehill? I mean,
yeah, but like it, to me, like you saw the passer rating drop over 10 points, but that's the same thing that happened to Derek Carr when Todd Downing was his offensive coordinator. And if you're going to keep him, I don't know how much confidence you have.
No, that's why I want to move on from Downing more than anything. And maybe, you know, the first 2 years, Ryan Tannehill statistically was an elite quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. And obviously, you know, you can be upset with him not performing in the playoffs. I think he was all right, but not great in the playoffs his first 2 years.
I thought the first year he did what you needed to do. I mean, the New England game was bad. It was bad weather. Brady had a bad game too. Tannehill wasn't good. Henry was just awesome. The one against Baltimore, I thought he made a couple of throws and runs that he had to make. You were beating them the whole time, so I didn't care about how many yards he threw. Kansas City, I thought that was just basically your defense letting you down.
Right.
But last year against Baltimore, I thought he was very, very bad.
I thought he was an average quarterback.
Scored 13 points last year.
Yeah, and I thought he was an average quarterback in that playoff game against the Ravens operating a bad game plan.
Yeah, that's fine. But like,
which is like not great. It's not what you want. But, you know, maybe this year was a little bit more of an outlier. He has not had turnover issues until this season with the Titans. And he was operating with a bad offensive coordinator, a guy that was a bum in Oakland, like you mentioned, and a revolving door of skill players that was he never developed any consistency with. And furthermore, I think a lot of his struggles this year weren't actually with him throwing the football and his ability to throw a football, whether that be arm strength or accuracy. I think his biggest issues were reading defenses and reading defenses specifically pre-snap.
Well, that's a problem for somebody who's been in the league as long as he has.
But you wonder if how much of that – but he didn't have that issue the 2 years prior, so you wonder if some of that is on Todd Downing or and just the – again, the revolving door of skill players. So, you know, maybe next year if you move on from Downing or if you just stay consistently healthy, he can bounce back.
He's never going to have a better chance than being at home against the Cincinnati Bengals where his defense has non-sacks.
Yep.
And that's really what it comes down to.
I mean, that defense can be that good again next year, though.
9 sacks, though.
It's not going to be 9 sacks. It's not going to have like a combination where you're going up against a terrible offensive line and you just absolutely abuse them all game and you have 9 sacks and really like you just have to find a way to not give them the ball.
Yeah.
You have third and one from the 35.
Yeah, you were better than the Bengals. And
like,
you were better
Ryan
than
Tannehill just hand the ball off to Derrick Henry on third and one on that read option and he like has 5 yards and an easy first down. Like
those two play calls there were very – odd to me.
I like the play call, the read option.
Well, I don't have a problem with the play call. I thought you should give him the ball to Derrick Henry.
I thought the defense just played it right. The DN slow played it and made the read tough. And
I mean, yeah, but Henry like got contacted like 2 yards past the line of scrimmage. If he has the ball, he has a first down.
Yeah.
But, and like on third and one,
but if
like,
you hand
you
him
have
the ball,
eight,
if you yeah. hand him the ball, the defensive end probably doesn't take one step inside and then go back outside. He probably just takes two more steps inside and tackles Henry. Like, you don't know if Henry gets that first down.
I'm imagining
then played that perfectly.
Yeah, I imagine Henry's, you know, who's been a dominant running back in the NFL for 4 years, is going to like find a way to fall forward from getting tackled from the side. Like, he's going to find a way to get a yard. Or you could have just thrown the ball to A.J. Brown, who had 8 yards of a cushion out on the, you know, his man coverage on third and one. So I thought it was a all-around disaster last year in the playoffs, like I said. Come out, you get up 10-0 in that quarter, you know, that, in that game, you score 3 points over the last three quarters. That was abysmal.
I mean, the Titans are really good. The Titans' defense was incredible. The turnaround that the defense did was incredibly impressive. You know, I think it was a somewhat lucky win for the Bengals. The Titans were the better team, and if they play 100 times, they win the majority. And unfortunately, Saturday was the minority, and your quarterback had a lot to do with it. And it's just, it sucks. It makes you not want to wake up in the morning anymore, but it is what it is.
It is what it is, and it was the end of my diehard fandom in sports.
John, let me bring you back in.
No.
Please.
You've done a terrible job bringing me back in.
Well, that's because you're just, it's hard to be optimistic. I think, is there part of us that, for me at least, like, I can appreciate that there is something in life that I feel strongly enough about, that I enjoy enough, that I have to also be able to make me feel that sad. You know, I can at least appreciate that there is something in life to be that passionate about. And
that's good. That's one way to look at it.
You know, I will say this too. All the moments like these that we deal with, where they take your will to live right out from under you, basically.
Yeah, no, I don't enjoy those.
They will make it.
They eventually beat you down, Troy. That's why I keep telling you, you're young. You're going to get jaded soon.
No, just
when you come to the realization that none of your teams are ever going to win a championship again, you just come to that realization.
All these moments, they build it up.
Titans ain't winning a championship. The Vols ain't winning a championship. I'm just going to go ahead and say it, Cam. Hawks probably ain't going to win a championship.
Well, you're wrong about that one, but
I guarantee you right
now.
Got
Trey Young.
Trey might win one with, like,
the
Lakers
one day. Titans will win a Super Bowl in our lifetime.
You know, I hope you're right, and I'll hop back on the bandwagon if it comes to. But, you know, until
moments like these,
I've had plenty of these moments.
Don't let this shatter your Hawks fandom. Don't let this shatter. Don't buy associations.
Moments like these will make it that much sweeter, that much better, that much more enjoyable when you do win. And that's, you know, like the Nationals.
Do you have any Cubs fans died thinking that? Over the 114 years it took them to win one?
The ones that live, though. The ones that just experienced, like, 60 years.
But do you know how many of them died thinking that? They're the same as the people on the Titanic thinking that help was coming. As they're in the water, freezing, help's coming.
We're going to win one day. And it'll be that much sweeter.
Talk Sports is broadcasting live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. I drank too many White Claws on Saturday, but it did help numb the pain a little bit. I did drink them somewhat responsibly.
Good.
I didn't feel that bad the next day, so that was a win. We love White Claw Hard Seltzer and appreciate their support. Cam, send us to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. It was tough. It was tough. It was the end of an era for me. Can I get sucked back in? As Bryce points out, you do play in the AFC South. You should have another home game next year in the playoffs. That's fine, but, like,
John, you'll be all right.
You had it set up. You imagine hosting, man. If the Titans were hosting the Chiefs this week, there'd be so much buzz around that game. You'd be able to really play until the nobody believes in us. You'd be touchdown underdogs at home after that Chiefs offensive performance. Mm-hmm. Place would have been rocking. I thought the Titans fans put on a pretty good show. I don't know how it came across on TV, but I was shocked that there weren't really any big packs of Bengals fans anymore. They're all pretty much just, like, loosely spread out across the stadium. I thought that
upper deck, Bengals sideline, in the top left and top right corners had a little pack of Bengals fans. But yeah, no,
but nothing bad.
And it was loud. I mean, it was really loud. You couldn't hear whistles.
It seemed good on TV. It seemed like a solid
moment. Where we were, we couldn't even hear the PA announcer sometimes.
I did think that game was really well officiated, too. You know, it's surprising that, you know, you get 9 sacks and you turn around, like, there's never a holding or a legal contact called. Like, there were pretty much no penalties in that game. And, you know, I thought it was pretty well officiated.
Bad false starts. There were, like, 3 to 4 times that the Bengals got away with it. But nothing, like, I would complain about and say the refs were bad and change
this
game.
There was one bad false start on a big play for the Bengals, but I just was more just impressed that, like, refs – I would rather you just, like, miss every call than just, like, call ticky-tack stuff. I'd rather you just, like, okay, we're gonna let some things go.
Kevin Byard just said he's would restructure his contract to make sure the Titans can sign Harold Landry.
Well, that's good. But again, to me, I'm just at the point now where I think we got enough sample size to say this quarterback's not going to win you anything, and it hurts to admit because I've loved Ryan Tannehill for a long time. I appreciate him, but
we're gonna be okay. We're gonna be okay.
Yeah, we're gonna be okay.
You're in a dark place. You're going to come out of it. It's going to be okay.
We are going to be okay, but we are not going to ever have a Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, or even a Joe Burrow.
I still don't think
Burrow was that great in this game either. Like, I still come out of this, you know, with the same questions I do. Like, he's tough. Yeah. He finds ways to win games. Like, all those things are great, but, like, they should have lost that game. And they should have scored 16 points and, like, should have thrown no touchdowns. And then you're wondering, like, what exactly, like, you know, how good Joe Burrow is. Some of the sacks, I thought, you know, he held the ball a little too long. But also, like, you know, he had just pressure in his face all day.
Yeah.
But he's going to continue to improve, in my opinion. They'll figure out that offensive line. Like, you know, they didn't prioritize it this year because they wanted Ja'Marr Chase instead. But I'd imagine their first round pick should go to getting an offensive lineman this year.
You would think so.
AJ Brown's a monster. Like, I do feel good about that. Like that touchdown catch he had, backpedaling with his left hand was
absolutely
dirty. And that's the problem with me with Ryan Tannehill is that was an absolute dime to the outside pylon.
Yeah,
it was a perfect throw.
Elite throw. Yeah, like that's a tough throw to make.
It was perfect.
And it's not his arm, it's his eyes.
Yeah, I mean the first interception of the game, the first play of the game, he was
late
half a second, basically a second and a half late. It was terrible.
And like Jesse Bates did a good job baiting him into that too. He's in my opinion the best coverage safety in the NFL. So, you know, credit to him for that. But yeah, Ryan Tannehill has to be better there. And then, you know, the second pick to Mike Hilton. Hey, check out of that, buddy. You see that nickel corner creeping to the line of scrimmage? Yeah, you can't run that RPO anymore. It's not there. You got to check out of that. You have to identify that, and a better quarterback in that situation does identify that. But at the same time, you wonder how much is the OOC it sometimes, too. And then, obviously, the third pick, I mean, what are you doing, brother? And also, what were our route concepts on that play? Neither of those were good.
Did feel like for the most part, am I missing anybody? Did anybody choke? I feel like every superstar player except maybe Aaron Rodgers actually showed up this week.
Yeah.
And made the plays they were supposed to. Like Cooper Kupp solidified like his entire season by those last two catches.
Absolutely.
You had Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, he had his, 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry
didn't really show up. He has touchdown. I mean, I thought they were kind of getting him going, and then, went away from him.
I mean, I guess Debo statistically didn't show up.
He had the game winning play, though.
He was there,
Game, like, he made
the impacts that you wanted to win the game.
Tom Brady, I guess, could have been better.
Brady could have been better, but in that last game, I mean, I guess Stephon Diggs' his biggest contribution to divisional round weekend was the pitcher he took last year that everyone talked about. Look at him. Here he is watching the game and soaking in the celebration. Other than that, his biggest contribution was tackling the streaker that ran on the field on 4th and 13.
I will give him credit, though, because I think the Chiefs are really trying to take him away, and I think that did open up Gabriel Davis, obviously. But, as far as, stat-wise impact, he was very quiet compared to, like you said, the other star receivers that would still get open, still getting their catches and yards. But
and how could I forget? Superstar Gabriel Davis.
Yeah. First ever receiver with 4 touchdowns in the playoffs.
Who I have seen Tennessee fans really grasping to the idea about Josh Heupel developing Gabriel Davis and how he found Gabriel Davis, despite the fact that Scott Frost is who signed Gabriel
Davis. Yeah, we'll say, is that what they were trying to do?
and despite those same Tennessee fans that I see tweeting about this, like, for the last 4 years have mocked every NFL player that, like, Butch Jones put in the NFL. So, I mean, like, which is it? Which is it? I guess I would ask. But
whoever makes him feel that good that day.
8 catches, 201 yards. I mean, yeah, he was a monster. Josh Allen leaves that game, leaves division round weekend at home on the couch, but with everyone pretty much coming together to be like, yeah, he was the best player on that in that game last night. He was the best player on the field last night. I'm looking and I'm thinking, the 13 touches that Singletary and Isaiah McKenzie had rushing the ball were just probably about 10 too much.
Mm-hmm.
Singletary did get the touchdown on 4th and goal to start the game. Yeah. But like every time if I'm a Chiefs fan and you hand the ball to Devin Singletary, I'm like, great, that's one play that Josh Allen isn't going to have the ball. I would have liked to have seen him get it a couple times more.
Yep.
Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two of headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.